I believe will be encouragement for us, and also it has a little bit of everything in it. How about that? It has some rebuke and some encouragement and some, you know, stuff we need. Amen. 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 You know, it's like the medicine that they start putting flavoring in. It has the medicine in it, but it also has a little cherry flavor to it. So it tastes pretty good to us, and it's good for us, but it's sometimes it goes down a little hard. So let's just take that. Amen. When you have Judges chapter 6, thanks to God that the Holy Ghost is in the place. Amen. So Judges chapter number 6, we'll read verse 11 and 12, and we'll flip on over and read chapter 7, and we'll read verse 19, 20, and 21 for time's sake, all right? Amen. Amen. When you have Judges chapter number 6, say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Judges chapter 6, verse number 11 says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak which is in Ophrah that pertained to Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Chapter 7, verse 19. Let's read these last three verses in concert together, would you? Let's read verse 19. So Gideon, the 100 men that were with him, came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were there in hands. Yes. And brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hands, blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And the host ran and cried and fled. Amen. May God add a blessing to all those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of the Lord stands for ever. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a thought today, because I've heard people say, you know, trust the process and, you know, just trust this and trust that. But I want to bring to you today a thought, a title tag, trusting God's plan. Trusting God's plan. Amen. Many times we trust everything else. We trust the process. We trust our employers. We trust our friends and family, our bank accounts. We trust everything else, but we don't trust the plan of God. Anytime you find yourself in a state of, I don't know what to do, that means that you have not sought the plan of God and know it to trust it. And sometimes, even when he does not reveal it firsthand, you need to know that I can trust God, that he will make sure that I come out ahead and everything will be all right. Because he intends for us to prosper. He intends for us to overcome. He intends for us to be delivered. He intends for us to be able to be on top and not on the bottom, right? God intends for that. He tells us even in Deuteronomy 28, he said, I want you to be the head and not the tail, the lender, not the bar, above and not beneath. Remember, he said all that. He said, I want your storehouses to be full. So God intends to bless us. That's what he intends to do. But we have to allow ourselves to be positioned to where we can walk in the blessings of God. Amen. Just like in this story, you'll find in Judges, this story of Gideon, you'll find that Gideon has so many similarities to us in today. He has so many similarities, and that's what I want to bring out today. And I want you to I want to show you how, even though Gideon, coming from a person who was weak in his walk of faith with God, he still somehow, by the Spirit of God, you'll see it in that by the Spirit of God coming upon him, he was able to stand up and and help to bring deliverance and victory to a people who have been oppressed and broken for so many years. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go into the text here. So we find here that the children of Israel, and I'm going to give you a good backdrop of the story here. The children of Israel, they now were in the land, the possession of the land. Joshua had went on and died, but every time they would, they look like they would do good, they start sliding back. We call it backsliding in the church. They started to slide back from God. They started to move back from the things that they knew were to bring them closer to God. They stopped worshiping like they should. They stopped their prayer time. They stopped the things that they did in worship to make themselves feel even closer to God, to obey him. And when they stopped obeying him, and when they started to, their memory started to fade about the things that God did for them, then God allowed some things to happen. You know how it is. Our memory starts to fade after a few days, after we've gotten what God had promised us, and after we've received the things that we wanted from God. Then after a while, a few days pass by, then we start saying, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, rather than do what we did to get what we got. Amen. You know, you can't beat us in the house of God when we need a blessing. You can't beat us in the house of God when we need a car, a house, a husband, or a wife, whenever we need a healing, whatever it is. You can't beat us worshiping. We're going to lift our hands. We're going to shout. We might even run around the church when we need it. But when we have it, then we start to slide back. I got it now. Until we need something else, do we really press our way into God? But we ought to press. And you know, the same thing it took to get what you got is going to take the same thing to keep what you got. Amen. And so we must praise God, and we must press into him. And I'm not talking about, you know, just put on a show at church and praise God. I'm talking about your everyday walk, that you can tell you're close to God. You can tell a person that's walking with God because they have the joy of the Lord, because the Bible says in his presence is what? Fullness of joy. So I can tell if you're walking with the Lord. I can tell if you've been in the presence of God, because you're not going to let the small things get you out of his presence. You're not going to let the small things make you so mad that you can't walk in the presence of God. You got to know that God is right there with you. So here it was, Israel, after they had gotten the promised land, the land that was flowing with milk and honey, the land that had grapes that were so big that you took one cluster and two men had to be able to carry it on a pole. I'm talking about big blessings. I ain't talking about a little something. I'm talking about more than enough. That kind of God that we serve is more than enough. He gives us more than we deserve. We don't deserve the stuff that we get, but he still blesses us. He looked beyond our faults and see our need and blesses us with more than our need. Paul said that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Come on and say amen here. And so they had what they needed, and every time they would get what they needed, they would somehow forget to worship God properly. You know, you have to properly worship God. You have to get things in order and worship God. We try to give God any old thing. We don't have no order to our worship. We don't have any order to how we approach God. We think God ought to just take us when we're mad. God ought to just accept us when we're angry. God ought to just take us when we're unfaithful. I wish I had somebody, but it's some things you need to wash off of you before you come to the presence of God. There's some things you need to put in the back of your mind and say, I'm forgetting about those things and I'm reaching toward the mark for the prize of the high call. All right. So Israel backslid. And because they backslid, God allowed the enemy to come in and oppress them. Because they slid back away from God, because they were not intense in their worship, because they were not faithful in the things of God, he allowed an enemy to come in, and for 7 years they were being oppressed. Now, how were they being oppressed? I'm glad you asked. Well, they were being oppressed by every time. And see, these people were farmers. They were people that they, you know, it wasn't like today. You couldn't just go to the grocery store and buy something, you know, and go home. They had to rely on what they grew in the field, and they traded like that, or they ate and they lived by what they grew. You know, that's the way it should be for us today. We ought to be able to eat what we grow, amen, and grow what we eat, amen. But they were not industrial country. They were an agriculture country. And so they had all these crops, but every year the Midianites, who happened to be their cousins, look at this, them cousins, y'all got to know them cousins something else. the Midianites, who happened to be their cousins because they were the son of Abraham. Abraham had a son by the name of Midian by his last wife. I know y'all didn't know that, but he had a last wife by the name of Keturah. And he had sons by Keturah, and he shipped them away so Isaac could have the possession of the promise. But here it was, they come back, and they were bringing their camels, they were bringing their people, and when, you know, they wasn't even trying to plant nothing. They would come out the desert, and they would just sit their cattle in the middle of a field and eat up the grass. Israel couldn't even do nothing because they would bring 135,000 soldiers with them, and they would sit there, eat up the food, harvest the wheat that they didn't plant, take the corn, whatever it was they wanted, they would take it. They would take a wife or a daughter, whatever they wanted, they would just take it. And you know, that's oppression. Some of us been oppressed by the bill collectors now. Every time you make a dollar, look like they take it. You know, we get bound up. We get in some stuff, and we get oppressed by the enemy. And this was happening not just one year. Israel didn't have one bad year. They had seven in a row. Can you imagine knowing that about this time next year, they're going to be coming right back? Leaving you with nothing, leaving your family starving. And here it was, they were starving, they had nothing because what, and look, it wasn't that God hadn't blessed the land, because God had blessed the land where it was prosperous, but they couldn't enjoy the blessings of God because they had backslidden. Let that sink in for a minute. Could not enjoy what God had blessed them with because they had slidden back. And because they slid back, they would plant, they would have a harvest, but all they can do is watch somebody else eat it. Imagine you put in the work, but you got to watch, you know how it is. You done put in the work to make that company great, and then they put somebody right in and promote over you. Come on now. You put in, let's bring it to home here. You put in help to somebody, you help them so much, but then they forget about you when they got where they were supposed to be. Oh, they promised you when they got their income tax, they were going to bless you. But you should have watched Judge Mathis, and he'll let you know. But anyway, they had a harvest, but they couldn't enjoy it for the Midianites coming in and taking what belonged to them. They were vicious. They were like, you know, we here, we know y'all got something, we're going to eat it up, and then we're going to go back home. Cousins. They come get what you got, then they go home. Eat you out of house and a home. And y'all with me today? Leave you broke, busted, and disgusted. Leave you in a fix, leave you in a jam. And now you got to explain to your kids why we can't eat. All right, here it was. All right, let me get to it here. So they, in verse 11 says that there came an angel and it sat under an oak. Now before this, there was a prophet that came and he gave a word. And you know, one thing about God is that before he do a great move, he's always going to send a word. Before something happens in your life, he will send a word for you. Whether it's a preached word over the pulpit or a personal word, whatever it is, he will send something. If it's something that you might be reading and all of a sudden it just, boom, it jump out at you. God will send something to you your way. Before things shift in your life, God will always send something. So before every great shift, God will send a word. Amen. But the problem is we don't always look for it. And you know what? I was talking to somebody the other day, and they was talking about they was upset about something somebody said over the pulpit. They didn't like it. But I was like, you know, you're pushing away the word. What if that word was to correct you, to help you? Yes, right. Because you didn't like it. I don't receive that. You better receive the word of the Lord. Amen. The one thing we need to know is that we are not perfect. And God knows all of our imperfections. And since he knows all of our imperfections, he will send the word to straighten us up, because sometimes we get a little crooked. Amen. Sometimes we're a little down, so he sends the word to prop us up. Yes. Yeah. Amen. So here it was that the prophet came and he prophesied, and then all of a sudden, you know, nobody really paid attention because every year the same thing. So your word didn't mean nothing, preacher, because every year the same stuff. Amen. Verse 11 says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat. When it says there came an angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord there is going to be the pre-incarnate Jesus. Amen. He said, under the oak tree in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash. And then it goes on to say, and Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide from the Midianites. Here it is. Gideon is in a place where they should have been making wine, but he's trying to thresh out wheat. In other words, he's trying to get a word where he should already have joy in the Lord. He should already be trusting in the word of the Lord. And so here he was, he's trying to thresh out wheat in a place where they should be making wine. Sometimes that's how it is. We're doing the wrong thing in the wrong place. All right, let me go. He says, verse 12, and the angel appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord be with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, all of a sudden, for 7 years, Gideon's been a coward. For 7 years, he's been sitting in and hiding in a wine press. Israel's been hiding in caves in the mountains. They won't even go to their own house because when the Midianites come to town, they go leave their house and the Midianites stay in their houses. Isn't that something? Imagine you having to leave your house because them cousins came. Imagine that. And so Gideon is hiding. Gideon is hiding because he's fearful. Gideon is hiding because he's somewhat cowardice. Amen. And he's hiding just to try to get enough to make some bread. I got to hide the little bit that I went and got out the field and thresh it out before the Midianites can get it. So I'm hiding it in the place where I should be making wine. I should be happy, but I don't have a word. Mm-hmm. So here he is. The angel says to him, mighty man of valor. You know, the one thing I love about God is that he can see in me what I can't see in me. Yes. While Gideon was hiding, while Gideon was feeling sorry for himself, hiding in a place where he should have been making wine, while he's there threshing out wheat, the Lord sees something in Gideon. While you're trying to do, and at least Gideon was doing something, there were some people that was just hiding. There were some people that wasn't doing nothing at all. But at least he was doing something. And because he was doing something, God sent a word to him and said, you're a mighty man of valor. Now, how can you be a mighty man of valor when you hide? I ain't trying to fight nobody, but I'm, and you call it God. You talking to me? I'm hiding. Do you know why? I'm in here hiding. I'm not trying to fight. I'm not trying to be a warrior. I'm just trying to get these wheat threshed. And you know, while you're minding your own business, God will somehow call you out of where you are. I was minding my own business. I'm telling you, I was doing what I like doing. I don't care what anybody say. I know some people will tell you, oh, I was in this sin. I just hated what I was in. No, I'm telling you, I was loving what I was doing. But the Lord arrested me and stopped me in my tracks and said, you can't keep doing this because I have something for you to do. Amen. You know, in the flesh, we're going to love our sin that we get ourselves in. But the Lord will stop you in your track. Amen here. Amen. And so here it is, Gideon. The Bible says that God says you're a mighty man of valor. Now, when God changes your character, God speaks something, he already knows what's going to happen. So we don't need to question it. We don't need to fight it. But Gideon, that's what he did. He questioned. He fought. But the Bible says that that when in that day, that whenever something would happen, the way to get your brothers to come and help you fight is that you had to blow a trumpet. Nobody in 7 years had blew the trumpet because everybody was scared and nobody wanted to lead. Isn't that something? That's kind of how it is today. Nobody wants to step up. Everybody want to do whatever, but nobody wants to step up and lead. Nobody wants to take the initiative. Nobody wants to say, I stand alone if I have to. Nobody wants to say that I'm going to do whatever it takes to stand on this rock, and I shall not be moved. I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Where are those people? Nobody fighting to be leaders nowadays. Everybody want to do their own thing. But we have to learn that God wants us to step out. He wants us to be leaders. And the Bible says, look at, if you got your Bible still open, let's look at chapter 6, but we'll look at verse number 34. And look at what verse 33. And all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east. Now here it was, the Midianites, not only were they coming, but they went and got their cousins too. They got some other cousins. Them cousins brought their cousins. The Amalekites was their cousins. On the other side. So he went, got the Midianites, went, got the Amalekites, and they said, we know where we can find some food. It's like going to the grocery store and it's all free. We can go loot all we want. So they brought them together and went over to the, and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. That is, Jezreel is a valley that is real productive. They have everything in Jezreel in that valley that you could think of to grow. They can grow it right there. So they pitched there waiting on the stuff to pop up out of the ground. And verse 34 says, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and he blew a trumpet. My Lord. The Spirit, when the Spirit of God gets upon you, sometimes you can't help what you do. You can't help but blow the trumpet. You can't help but praise. You can't help but sound the alarm. You can't help but do God's will. You can't help but get a righteous indignation in you to make you want to do better. And Gideon hadn't talked to nobody. You know, that's what we mess up most of the time, is when God tells us something, we want to go and get it validated by people, and we start asking, what do you think? We start analyzing, what do you think about this? What do you think? I know people that always, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? We got to quit asking everybody what they think. If God has said it, that's enough. If God says you're a mighty man of valor, that's what you are. Don't go and say, what do you think about this dream? What do you think about what God said? What do you think about that word? What do you think about what was preached today? No, I think it was good, and whatever it was good, because it was all God, and he spoke to me. Come on and say amen. And so Gideon, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Do you know whenever God speaks a word, that he sends not only his word, but he sends the power of the Spirit with his word? The Bible lets us know that the Spirit comes, and he comes to do what? Help us to do what we couldn't do on our own. He said that I won't leave you comfortless, but I give you the Paracletos. I give you the Spirit of God, that whatever he comes to do alongside to help you to do whatever it is that God has called you to do. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon because he had a visitation from God. See, the problem with a lot of us is that we get so touchy and we just get so out of our wits whenever we get by ourselves. We let the devil talk to us, but we won't let God talk to us. Gideon was by himself, and the devil wasn't talking to him. God was. But when we get by ourselves, we start thinking about all the wrong stuff that people done us, and I'm through with them, and I ain't going back to the church, and I'm do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm through. And we start thinking the wrong stuff. But when God speaks to you, he speaks to you and makes you go out and do something that's going to benefit not just you, it's going to benefit everybody. You can't be selfish and think about yourself when you come in the presence of God. That is, let me tell you something that I found out. There's a blessing in being alone sometimes. The blessing of being alone is that God can speak to you anytime. God can talk to you when you get in a place where it's quiet. God can speak to you and let you know what he thinks about you. And it ain't no encouragement like the encouragement that comes from God. When you realize who you are in God. When he tells you that you're the apple of my eye. When he tells you that I love you, I love you, I love you. When he tells you that there ain't no weapon that I'm going to let form up to prosper against you. When he tell you that I'm your deliverer, I'm your healer. When he encourages you, you can get up with a confidence and go blow a trumpet. Oh, glory be to God. It's a blessing sometimes of being alone. We get alone and we listen to the devil. And he wear us out with all kinds of stuff. He start telling you what's wrong with you, what you're feeling in your body. And if you check here, you might find something. He start telling you all kinds of stuff. But what about listening to God? We need to listen to God when we get all by ourselves. We need to start listening to what the Lord says. And when we're alone, God takes an opportunity. You know, God will speak to you when you're by yourself. He spoke to the prophet Elijah when he was in the cave by himself. He spoke to Moses when he was on the backside of the desert by himself. I wish I had somebody. Oh yeah, we need to know that God will speak to you. God will speak to you when you're all alone. And so don't get all discouraged and get all up in the air whenever you ain't got nobody to hang out with. That you got God to hang out with. Just talk to the Lord. But we won't pick up our Bible. We won't pray. I'm just gonna see what's on Lifetime. Now 2 hours of your life is gone, and you could have spent 30 minutes talking to God, and he could have blessed your life while you're looking at somebody else's life on television. I wish I had a few people in the house today that could say amen to that. Oh, glory be to God. Now, we've wasted time on some stuff, but I want you to know that if God will speak to you, then he's going to anoint you with his Holy Spirit so that you can do what he called you to do. See, sometimes we look at ourselves and try to see if we got the ability, if I got the money. Gideon didn't have no money. He couldn't raise no army. He didn't have the ability to do anything, but he, by the Spirit of God, can do it. Well, you know, and the thing about this is that the Spirit of God came upon Gideon. And we have no excuse because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. And the Bible declared to us that we can do all things through Christ that strengthen us. But yet we still sit back just like the children of Israel and say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to help. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to see what needs to be done and blow a trumpet and do it. Mm-hmm. But goes on here. Let me go on. Chapter 7 in verse 7 says, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by 300 men. Let me stop and give you a little bit on that. Gideon blew the trumpet, and the people heard the trumpet, and they were just waiting on somebody to blow it. They were just waiting on somebody to blow the trumpet. They were waiting on somebody to say, you know, let's go fight these guys. But nobody would do it. Everybody would just kind of, you know, they would just kind of look and, you know, let's just go on back to our caves and let them have the wheat. We'll just plant again next year. But this time, somebody blew the trumpet. And when they blew the trumpet, the people who heard it, they all gathered themselves behind Gideon and said, what's up now? It's time to do this. Amen? And sometimes all it takes is somebody with enough courage, somebody with enough anointing, somebody. And when you got the anointing of God, you shouldn't be worried about whether or not it's going to work, because the anointing itself makes it work. The anointing itself makes the difference. The anointing destroys the yoke. The anointing gets you to a place where the enemy can't handle you. I wish I had somebody. We need to know that the anointing sets me apart, and so I can't be touched. He said, touch not my anointing and do my prophet no harm. And so therefore, I ain't worried about what might happen, because I'm just going to blow this trumpet since God put it in my hand. I may not have a trumpet in my hand, but I can make myself sound well enough to where I can blow a horn. Amen. I can make an alarm. I can sound the alarm. And will you come and fight with me? Will you array yourself with me in spiritual warfare so that we can overcome this spirit of the Midianites that's taking over our community, making our children not want to do nothing, making all the people to complain. All they do is complain. You get on Facebook, they complain. And you get on Instagram, it's a complaint. Twitter, complaint. TV. Watch CNN, that's complaining about something. Complaining, complaining, complaining. And that's all we do. We don't have nobody that'll say, I'm going to blow this trumpet and I'm going to stop complaining, because I had some good days. I had some bad days. I had some hill to climb. But when I look around, I see all my good days outweigh my bad days. So I'm going to blow this trumpet instead of complain. I wish I had somebody. Glory to God. And so it says that Gideon, he had about 32,000 people compared to what he had to fight against. He had to fight against 135,000. But he only had 32,000. But he was still willing to go do it. But then God turns around and said, Gideon, I'm going to make the odds a little bit worse. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I can't use these 32,000 people, because Israel will still not serve me, because they'll say, we did this. You know how it is. We always say we did it. We always say, yeah, I did that. I prayed and that's what happened. I did it and that's what happened. Do you know that even if you didn't pray, if God wanted to do it, he'll do it anyway? anybody else other than me got some stuff in your life that God did that you didn't even have a chance to pray for? You didn't even know that he was going to do it, but he still did it? Oh, come on and say amen. Anybody other than me can look around in your life.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:00.